Well, good morning, all. It's wonderful to see the sun shining on a beautiful 40-degree day. And by the way, this month, winter is over and spring begins on March 22nd. So we're going to ask Mrs. Lear if she would kindly open us in a rousing prayer this morning.
Well, Heavenly Father, we look out the window today and we see blue sky and bright sunshine. We do have much to be thankful for. You provide for us in every possible manner and means, and we're thankful for that. And Lord, we do acknowledge that we're living in a peculiar time, but perhaps no more peculiar than any other. It's just that we're living in this one. And with the various things that we read in the news and see going on in our neighborhoods, Lord, I pray that we would remember that you did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. And certainly it would be wise and beneficial for us to take heed of that in these days and times. And Father, I do pray that we're able to be patient, we're able to be hopeful, that we're able to be persistent in our prayer to you about all these things that are going on, because our peace resides in you, Jesus Christ, and we are deeply thankful for that. We do pray, Holy Spirit, that the message you desire our hearts to hear will come to us through Pastor Lear today, inspired as always. We thank you, Jesus, in your name. Amen.
Amen. We are also joining together with people all over America at the request of our president. President Trump has asked that all of America would stop and pray today. He's declared this is a national day of prayer, and that has not happened very much in America, actually since our founding, when George Washington declared days of prayer, and some other of the early founders did the same thing. And so the pandemic, if you want to call it that, of COVID-19, otherwise known as the coronavirus, is sweeping around the world, not only in America, but around the world. There are people dying. The main thing we want to pray, in my estimation, is that people don't panic, that they pray and don't panic, that they continue to trust the Lord, do the right things. Many churches are not having services at the building, and they're actually broadcasting services, and people can stay home. Schools have been closed, and government offices have been closed, and things of that nature. So we need to pray that our whole way of life is not totally disrupted in what the ramifications are from this, that the truth will be known, and that people will be better as a result of it. And as it was quoted to me yesterday by a dear friend, Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that love God, to those called according to his purpose. Mm-hmm. Yes, Americans, you are called according to his purpose. Yes, Christians, you're called according to his purpose. And so the things we're going through will work together for good. And this, of course, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. And now sing your hearts out to the Lord, because along with prayer comes praise. And that helps us not to be fearful, because we've been told, don't panic, pray. Don't be afraid, pray. Don't be afraid, sing. And singing helps. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will hear them from his holy heaven with the steadfast arm of his right hand. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Now, where does a song like that come from? Well, here's one of the places that it comes from. In 1 John chapter 5, at verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. So that's why we pray as we do, and it's scriptural. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed, let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, that none that wait on thee be ashamed. Yea, that none that wait on thee be ashamed. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed, let not mine enemies triumph over me. And one of the enemies might be COVID-19, the coronavirus. Let it not triumph over me, in Jesus' name. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of who then will I be afraid? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple, the temple of the Lord, to behold his beauty, the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple, the temple of the Lord. And we not only want to dwell in the house of the Lord, we want the Lord to dwell in our house. Amen? And more now than ever. You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with songs of deliverance. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. Let the weak say I am strong in the strength of my God. Let the weak say I am strong in the strength of my God. I will bless the Lord at all times. Bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I will bless the Lord at all times. Bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I will bless the Lord at all times. Bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Therefore, the steps of a righteous man. They are ordered of God. They are ordered of God. Therefore, the steps of a righteous man, they are ordered of God. In the time of trouble, God will uphold him. God will uphold him. God will uphold him. In the time of trouble, God will uphold him. Therefore, the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. Keep that in your thinking. Keep that in your heart. Tuck it away in your heart. The steps of the Lord. The steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. Follow the pathway that the Lord has set for you. It's in the Bible. And the Bible speaks. And I think the Bible speaks very clearly. Well, today in my quips and quotes, power comes from the vision, not from the volume. The second office of the government is honorable and easy. The first is but a splendid misery. Thomas Jefferson, 1797. And I can say that probably right now, President Trump is saying the very same thing. The church is not being true to herself in her adherents are comfortable in the world. Let me read that again. The church is not being true to herself if her adherents are comfortable in the world. Christianity doesn't fit with homosexuality, pornography, divorce, evolution, or any other sin-soaked idea. If we live each day comfortable with the world, we must ask ourselves if we really are Christians. Narrow is the path to life. Few there are who find it. Our culture is more hostile toward Christian sexual rules than ever before. We will not survive much longer if we don't address this problem. The freedom to sin sexually is not freedom. It is bondage, and it's a bondage to evil. The confidence of the people will easily be gained by a good administration. This is the true touchstone. Alexander Hamilton, 1788. Either people control government, or the government controls the people. We have heard of the impious doctrine of in the old world that people were made for kings, not kings for people. It's the same doctrine to be revived in the new, in another shape, that the solid happiness of the people is to be sacrificed to the views of the political institutions of a different form. James Madison, 1788. I love the man that can smile in trouble, that can gather strength from distress, grow brave by reflection. 'Tis the business of little minds to shrink, but he whose heart is firm and whose conscience approves his conduct will pursue his principles unto death. Thomas Paine, 1776. We are either a united people or we are not. If the former, let us in all matters of general concern act as a nation, which has national objectives to promote and a national character to support. George Washington, 1785. God writes straight with crooked lines. God writes straight with crooked lines. Are you guided by the motto, charity and truth? Men to act with vigor and effect must have time to mature measures and judgment and experience. As to the best method of applying them, they must not be hurried on to their conclusions by the passions or the fears of the multitude. They must deliberate as well as resolve. Joseph Story, 1833. Now you ask, what is our policy? And I will say, it is to wage war by sea, land, and air, with all our might and with all our strength that God gave us, to wage war against a monstrous tyranny, never surpassed in the dark, lamentable catalogue of human nature. That is our policy. You ask, what is our aim? I can answer with one word, victory. Victory costs. Victory in spite of all terror. Victory, however long and hard the road may be, for without victory there is no survival. Winston Churchill said that. God is incapable of change and incapable of being changed by the actions of others. Now we have read from 1 John 5 today about how the Lord is influenced by our prayers. But it's not that we as people can change God. He's perfect. He doesn't need to change. We need to change, but he doesn't. And so he's incapable of changing. Now, people, if I was described as incapable of change, that would not be good. I am capable of changing, and I have changed, and I am changing. The Lord is shaping me and molding me and changing me all the time. And God is incapable of changes. He's incapable of being changed by the actions of others. In other words, when somebody puts their finger up in the air, wets their finger and says, okay, the wind is blowing in this direction, that makes for a good politician, I guess. Not in God's scheme of things. Though the courts have interpreted the Constitution to possess lamentable exceptions, the framers and ratifiers arguably accepted the non-aggression principle, articulated in the modern era by the late Professor Murray Rothbard, which declares that all aggression against persons and property, even by government, is immoral. Wow, think about that. Without freedom of thought, there can be no such thing as wisdom, and no such thing as public liberty without freedom of speech. Benjamin Franklin said that. And how true it is. Our fathers believed God was offended by sin. They themselves were deeply troubled both by the existence of personal sin in their own lives and by the presence of unconfessed corporate sins in the churches and in the nation. They regarded natural calamities as manifestations of the displeasure of God Almighty against sin and allowed such events as earthquakes, fires, volcanoes, epidemics, floods, and droughts to promote them to special seeking of God's face in fasting, prayer, and corporate repentance. They also sought the Lord in solemn assemblies in connection with wars, murders, rapes, etc., believing such outbursts of wickedness to be directly related to the general decline of moral and spiritual life in the churches. And so we Christians have to take some responsibility for those things that are happening. Some people have said that the coronavirus is God put on us to correct us for sin. It's not unthinkable, knowing that God has done this in ages past, that because of the sins of the people, certain calamities came upon them. It's not unthinkable. And so I direct people to be thinking about this from a personal standpoint. We can repent of our own sins. We can ask the Lord's forgiveness for our own sins. And we can intercede and pray that the Lord be merciful to our country. Obviously, the Lord has blessed this country in many different ways. But we do pray the mercy of the Lord upon us. And that we will learn the error of our ways. Not all the ways of America have been errors, but many have been. So we learn from those errors. Now take your Bible in hand, if you would. I'm continuing this week the third part of Courageous Preachers. And I want you to turn with me in your copy of the Bible to the second chapter of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2. As we read about a courageous preacher, I've actually been speaking about courageous preachers that we know of historically in America, for example, in different parts of the world, whether it be John Wesley, Charles Wesley, Peter Cartwright, a variety of different people like that, Francis Asbury. But today I want to talk about a courageous preacher that we read in the Bible, and it's Peter. So beginning at verse 1 of chapter 2 of Acts, and we're going to read through, basically, let's see, why don't we read through verse 21. So if I will read the first 10 verses, I'm going to ask Mrs. Lear if she'll read the second verses, 10 verses. Acts chapter 2 at verse 1. When the day of Pentecost arrived, and they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at the sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes, Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mockingly said, "They are filled with new wine." I'm going to stop there, and Mrs. Lear, if you'll take over from there, please.
Mm-hmm. In Acts chapter 2, at verse 14 through verse 21 from the English Standard Version. "But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel: And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy.'"
Continue reading.
"And I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day, And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Keep going.
Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool.
Good, we'll stop there. Now, why have I chosen this chapter of Scripture in Courageous Preachers series that I'm teaching on? I think it should be very evident, and there's certainly a lot of things we can discuss in this book of Acts concerning the power of the Holy Spirit, and of course, cloven tongues of fire, as it says in the King James, lighting upon every one of them. It's like saying, okay, well, they get lit up. Now, these are the ones that scattered. But they did listen to Jesus and come together, as he said that they should. And, of course, we also see the name in there of Joel, the prophet Joel. And he was a courageous preacher also, in the New Testament times, because he was saying things that the kings didn't want to hear and most of the people didn't want to hear. So he was a good example of a courageous preacher, because courageous preachers don't preach what's politically correct. And they jeopardize their own lives, as the Black Robe Regiment during the War for American Independence jeopardize their own lives to preach this way. But we're looking at the Apostle Peter. And I remind you of Peter's denial of Christ. I don't know him. Three times before the rooster crowed, he denied Christ to a serving maid, said, You were with that Jesus. No, I wasn't. Yes, you were. No, I wasn't. Yes, you were. No, I wasn't. And then the rooster, Cock-a-doodle-doo. And Peter remembered that it had been prophesied over him. And he didn't want to hear that when he said, Jesus said to him when he said, I will never deny you, Lord. I will never deny you. All the rest of them will, but I won't. I'm a tough guy. They can't do anything to me. But he did. Isn't it interesting that the Lord used a chicken? I mean, that's sort of humorous. That the rooster crowed three times or clucked three times or whatever you want to call it. Saying, Peter, you said you wouldn't chicken out on me, but you chickened out on me too. But the Peter we're seeing here in the second chapter of Acts is a different Peter. Oh, now don't get me wrong. It's the same Peter that denied Jesus, but he was a changed Peter. He went from being a cowardly Peter to being a courageous preacher Peter. What happened to him to make that happen? What came upon him? And I hope you can see in Scripture, whether you identify as a Pentecostal or as a charismatic or a Baptist or whatever you identify in your brand of Christianity, all Christians, at the request of Jesus, should have the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. Because every one of us has been given a good example by Jesus himself. And I remind you that Jesus wasn't crucified for what he didn't say. He was crucified for what he did say. And many of the Old Testament prophets, Jeremiah and Hezekiah and so forth, many of them were put upon because of what they did say. That they were courageous enough to preach against kings, preach against political correctness. And we need the same kind of preaching today. Political correctness is killing our country. It's certainly killing the church. Because when the church feels comfortable and Christians feel comfortable with the world, then you know that the preachers are not doing their job and being courageous enough to state the case. A day does not go by where the Patriot pastor, Garrett Lear, doesn't get a thumping from somebody somewhere, not usually physical thumping, a reputational thumping, because I bring out things. I don't agree with pornography, I don't agree with abortion, I don't agree with homosexuality, and nothing that anyone's going to do is going to change me in that. Because I have been baptized with the Holy Spirit, because I have had the fire of God light me up like a candle, light me up like a lamp. Just like what happened to Peter. Because this same Peter has come out, and what is he saying here? He is saying, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst. As you yourself know, this Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. Now, do you get that? I'm trying to put the emphasis where it needs to be. Lawless men. Well, we have lawless men today that want to crucify you if you speak this way like Peter is speaking. We have lawless men in government, in business, people who will ban you on Facebook or ban you on Google or whatever else, for that matter, ban you in a lot of other situations because they're lawless men. Now, why is it that they're lawless? Simple answer. Because they don't accept the law. That makes them lawless. That makes them criminals in a sense. And many of them are in positions of high authority, as I've just said. But Peter came out, the same cowardly Peter is now, after he's been lit up by the Holy Spirit, he's on fire for the Lord, he's like a candle, he's like a burning lamp, saying, "You lawless men." Now they're probably standing around saying, "How dare you? How dare you say that to me?" Just like many homosexuals just recently in the last couple of days thumping me. "How dare I say that? How dare you say abortion is murder? How dare you say this? How dare you say it? How dare I? I don't say it out of malice. I don't say it out of maliciousness. I don't say it out of anger or hatred. And I don't need to yell it through a megaphone. I simply state what the Lord says. And the ones that don't want you to do that, they are lawless. And we live in a time of lawlessness. Now, is it worse now than it's ever been? I'd have to honestly say in America today, this is the worst situation America has ever faced. Have we had times of lawlessness in America? Yes. Great revivals that came along, like the Cane Ridge Revival, came to a place in Kentucky that was very lawless. I mean, the criminals gathered there. They even held up a lot of the preachers and stole their money and stole their horse and saddle and whatever else. But we have not had so many lawless as we do today. And so when you think about a courageous preacher, all of you that are listening to this message here and over the internet or however that you're getting it, I want you to be a courageous preacher. You need to be a courageous preacher. Now, how can I say that? I say that by the Holy Spirit. I say that by a courageous preacher. And by the way, if you're in my neighborhood in any way, I'm going to lay hands on you. I'm going to pray that you get lit up on fire like the Holy Spirit would come upon you that way. I will pray that over you. And I'm praying that over you even remotely now, for those of you that are hearing this by the internet. You're not even seeing my face. I pray that the Holy Spirit would come upon you right now and light you up so that you can boldly declare exactly this, what Peter has declared here. The Lord said to my Lord, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." This is a prophetic word. Those lawless men will one day be the Lord's footstool. Now, why is that? Because the Lord will trample them underfoot. And there are many, many scriptures to verify that. Or the fact that footstool, you know, you put your feet up on the footstool. So think about that. Those lawless men will one day, if they do not get saved, they won't be delivered from Hades. And Hades, of course, is hell and hellfire. They won't be delivered from that, no matter how ranking high they are in government, in the world order of things and whatever. They will not be delivered from the fire of hell unless they receive Christ as their Savior. Now, don't tell me that courageous preachers are being mean to the people. They're being very loving because they want you to know this. And I commission you, in the name of Jesus Christ, I lay hands on you to be a modern-day Black Robe Regiment, for you to be a courageous preacher in this day and age. And that you will have the fire of the Holy Spirit in you. Not just on you, but in you. And that fire will keep you warm when it's cold. And when I'm talking about cold, I'm not talking about winter type cold. I'm talking about coldness towards the Lord. Many people are cold towards the Lord. you know, many times might describe, you come into the room and people kind of segregate you. They're cold to you. They're not friendly towards you. Why are they cold to you? I can tell you in my case, I've been put in the corner, so to speak. Stay away from us. Don't talk to us. Lawless people will treat you that way because they don't want to hear what you've got to say. And why? The enemy's trying to keep them from hearing that. Close up their ears, close their eyes, so they won't see it, they won't hear it, they won't taste it, they won't touch it. Because he knows. The enemy knows his time is short. The enemy knows courageous preachers inspire people to do what? Get saved. And when they get saved, inspires them to go back out and do what happened to them. Go out and lead other people to the Lord. Courageous preachers. I am one, and there are thousands more that are, just like the Bible says, and I'm not courageous because of anything good about Garrett Lear. Only because I know the truth about Jesus Christ, and I want the whole world to know that truth. And this is our prayer over you today. In Jesus' name. We'll have no other king but King Jesus. Amen.